Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Assigned Heart. This morning's show is entitled That Secret Sin Shattered Your Confidence and Weakened Your Resolve. Now what? And I wanted to do this show particularly because of what I continually read in the media about violence and their not so astute and superficial understanding as to the cause of terrorism and domestic violence, etc. Let me say at the top of the show that the term sin, as presented in the biblical documents, has nothing to do with a particular philosophy. This magnificent document is not philosophically driven. And so the term sin is the one word that is particularly used in order to delineate and to denote human behavior that is unacceptable before God. Completely unacceptable before God. It is unfortunate that this one word, sin, is what most individuals understand about the scripture, because this one word is used to translate several different words in the Old Testament and several different words in the New Testament for nuances and particular aspects of human action or actions and human behavior. And so I use the term sin because it is what is popularly known. The Greek word is harmatolos. It is an adjective. And it, of course, as an adjective, it is descriptive of a behavioral action or pattern. So this morning, I'm going to talk about a chronic condition called sin and how individuals engage in certain behaviors of which they are ashamed or they don't want others to know that this is part of their lives. And so there is that hiddenness that is there. And individuals may go and seek therapists who will assure them that they have no reason to feel guilty for their behavior or actions. And the therapist may or may not be amoral. Let me assure you that the God who created this universe has a substantive moral order. And finally, it is He whom we all must face. Yes, there are those who say He does not exist, but the denial does not negate the overall reality of God who created the existing world. He is beyond existence. He is the one who is the creator of existence. And so there is, thankfully, a moral order. And as we read the responses to the terrorist acts around the world and see that there is some sense of an understanding of the necessity of a moral order. If not, then we descend into chaos. And there are those who understand the moral order on a continuum, and I understand that. But one has to understand that as we look at human behavior and what is going on today, let me tell you that the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament addresses the type of hyper-violence and hyper-commitment to violence that we see today. It is, it is not real. It is already there in biblical documents. And as I said a moment ago, please read the book of Habakkuk. But this morning, I'm going to be reading from Leviticus. This book, which is part of the first five books of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, in the Hebrew, is not called Leviticus. The book is titled "And He Called." And He Called. So it is a book dedicated to to holy living. The term holy means to be set aside unto God. To be set aside. And the priest, the Old Testament priests, were both the religious leaders and the public health officials. Excuse me. So they were, once again, not only the religious leaders, they were also the public health officials. And I'm going to be reading from chapter 15 of Leviticus, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any man has a bodily discharge, the discharge is unclean. Whether it continues flowing from his body or is blocked, it will make him unclean. This is how his discharge will bring about uncleanness. Any bed the man with the discharge lies on will be unclean, and anything he sits on will be unclean. Anyone who touches his bed must wash his clothes and bathe with water." Pay very close attention to particular writing, because it's understanding of disease and disease prevention and disease containment or quarantine is timeless. And it is therefore, we read these words very carefully. Let's go on. And he who will be, anyone who touches his bed must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean till evening. Whoever sits on anything that the man with a discharge is sat on must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean till evening. Whoever touches a man who has a discharge must wash his clothes and bathe with water. He will be unclean until evening. The text goes on. If the man with the discharge spits on someone who is clean, that person must wash his clothes and bathe with water. The language continues. And he will be unclean until evening. Everything the man sits on when writing will be unclean, and whoever touches any of the things that were under him will be unclean until evening. Whoever picks up those things must wash his clothes and bathe with water and he will be unclean till evening. Anyone but man with a discharge touches without rinsing his hands with water must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean till evening. And so the text goes on about the necessity of personal cleansing if one has had contact with a person who has running issues. Because this is a very astute text that understands disease and how diseases are communicated and how diseases go from one person to another. They are initiated through contact or with the bodily fluid of the person who is so diseased. And so prevention here has to do, that is, prevention has to do with cleansing and the washing of water, because clothes can transmit diseased organisms. This is a very interesting text, and the reason why I'm using this text because I want you to understand that there is a spiritual side that is addressed here as well. And so we read about the man with running sores in this text. And I want you to also understand that Yahweh, that is God, is concerned about every area of our lives, every area. And so God does not want you and I to have super sin in our lives. Here, running sores equals hidden sin. And God also elucidates here that our human nature, such as it is not only corrupt, and this is a very difficult truth for many to accept. But please read medical literature, and please read history. Human nature is not only corrupt, it is corrupt. Paul speaks about this at length and in great detail in this letter to the Ephesians and in this letter to the church at Colossae. And so there is to be washing, or the individual must bathe, because uncleanness is contagious. Secret sins are not really secret sins. Secret sins create a situation within life which shuts down the standard functioning of the individual. Secret sins. Secret sins cut off effective action. Secret sin cut off decisiveness. And secret sins, moreover, stops fellowship with God, because the individual wants to hide those sins from others. But here's the thing. Fellowship with God is broken because the secret sin is not acute. The secret sin becomes chronic. And so hence we have the term running sores, something that or running issues, something that goes on unabated in the life of the individual. And so here, the physical contamination is tantamount to a spiritual contamination. The individual is not only contaminated through the secret sin that he or she has initiated and is now hiding, but others are impacted too. Malignant thoughts are also created when an individual sins against God and against himself and against another individual. See, God has called us to be holy. God has called us to live lives that are in agreement with his will. God has said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." Now, the individual may understand that he or she has had success in hiding a particular sin or sin pattern, or has been successful in hiding his or her learning issues. And please understand, both the counselor or therapist and the counselee or patient can both have learning issues or secret sin in their lives. And so any healing that can possibly take place is greatly curtailed or restricted because of what is going wrong. The effective counselor, the effective pastoral counselor, must have a life that is clean, a life that is holy, a life that is not limited by secret sin. Running issues of the mind, chronic thoughts about adultery, or chronic thoughts about an adulterous affair, chronic thoughts about what the Bible calls fornication, or sex between persons who are unmarried. There is, I know of one story in which a young man could not enjoy his marriage with his wife. He could not enjoy her sexually because his history that kept playing through the theater of his mind. His inner narrative was filled with thoughts of being with other women sexually. And so that created a barrier and a wall, and that he could not overcome the situation. And so he was haunted by his running issues. The running issues will keep going and they won't stop. They corrupt, running issues corrupt, and they are corrupting. What is embedded in the text for us to understand is what is the cleansing power of the water. And that the water, of course, spiritually speaks of Jesus as the water of life. Now, and once again, uncleanness is contagious. You and I influence one another. We are interdependent. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The divine internist here in this text is addressing the thought life and secret sins. Psalm 51:6. He is addressing our thought life and secret sin. And so I'm going to read from Psalm 61:6, which reads, "Surely you desire truth in the inner part. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." Speaking of the power of the Word of God to stop my running issues. It is all done through the power of God. It is all done through the cleansing power of the Word. We have to understand that when an individual sins, there may be an instance of sin in which the individual swiftly repents so that and he tells God or he agrees with God that he or she has missed the mark of God's holiness and his holy calling for his or her life. Then the individual confesses and move on. Confession is the remarkable and wonderful reality that believers have. We can go before God and we can not generalize, but name specifically our sin or our sins, how we have sinned, and elucidate these to God in great detail, because God already knows. And so therefore, when we confess, we go before God and agree with him as to what he already knows about what is going on in our lives, so that we can be set free. The conscience is greatly affected when we sin, and it should be. And the word of God that is in our heart is used by God to convict our conscience. I know some of the language is old, but the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of under soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, that is, a judge. The word discerner there means a judge of the thoughts and intent, what I wanted to do or plan to do of the heart. That is why we go back to the Word of God. And that is why the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Human Behavior will never plumb the depths of the human heart. Because here's the document. That document is politically driven. It is politically motivated. And this document is not politically driven or politically motivated. So, we go to the Word of God in order to understand human nature. In this case, running issues, what people have going on. Now, these things, the running issues, can become, as I said, a malignant issue because the individual feels he or she is not going to repent. And why should an individual repent? There is no God. I have a great deal of money, power, and influence, and who can touch me? And I have protection in place, and I know I'm the one to come near to me. Well, God is spirit, and he goes through your protection. And those who are protected, and the behavior of an individual who is engaged in chronic or malignant behavior. The personality dissolves. And that is not a very happy state. Money can't save us. Political power, influence cannot save us. For the individual who do not have these things in place and who sin, the same thing occurs. The personality dissolves. Because the Word of God can go and the Spirit of God can go where you and I may not be able to or go physically. But God is there and God knows. The average individual, the average human being, lives 800,000 hours. 800,000 hours. That is not a lot of time. But the average person lives 100,000 hours. What are you going to do with that amount of time? It can be filled with the power of God. It can be filled with the Word of God, and one can have a beautiful and wonderful life. Or it can be filled with burning issues, with secret sins that shatter confidence and weaken spiritual resolve. See, it is important to understand that we will all stand before God. Revelation 19 states that, and the books were opened, and there was a great white throne. The writer states, that is John, says there is a throne, a great white throne. And the one who sat thereon, John states, from whose face heaven and earth fled away. Now, matter is a standing wave function imposed upon void. So heaven and earth fled away. These individuals are standing before God, and we read, and the books were open. God is very meticulous about the books he has. He has information on every human being. Now, this is a very poignant reality. We read in the books over. And the dead were just evidence in those books. The people in Revelation 9 are not saved. They are individuals who have rejected God's salvation. So they are called the dead. And again, the term dead is an adjective. It's not a noun. So, let me say that at this point, it is important to know something that the scripture tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, which reads, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The Hebrew there means to, for the word renounces means to abandon. He who confesses, notice the language, the freeing language, the necessary language. Whoever confesses and abandons and finds mercy. But here, he who conceals his sin, that is to cover, and the word not only means to cover, it means to decorate, to pretend that the sins are not there, to put on a social that speaks all as well. So to decorate sin. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. And so the word prosper here means to be powerful or to come forcefully, to rush or prevail. Secret sin shatters confidence and weakens resolve. Now, one can live a life that is filled full with the blessings of God, a life that is wonderful, a life that is successful. But there has to be that understanding, that one cannot successfully serve God and serve sin. One cannot serve two masters. Either he will love the one or hate the other. So, Jesus demands that we make that decision.